Broadcasting from the campus of Salisbury University, this is WSDL Ocean City, NPR News Talk 90.7, putting Delmarva first. It's time for Delmarva Today with your host, Don Rush.
When we think of pet therapy, we usually think of caring for older adults or someone who has a physical ailment. But it's also beneficial for young people, especially as part of a special education program. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush. The dog's name is Murphy, and his owner is Wilton Seal. Murphy has become a very special presence at the Pinehurst Elementary School here in Salisbury. There, he provides, in Wilton's words, a non-judgmental, affectionate, stress-relieving presence for special needs children. So we devote this half hour to them and the school's leaders who have been engaged in what is becoming a more and more common form of therapy. Our in-studio guests are Wilton Seal. He's owner of the Special Ed Dog. Also, his wife, Kristen. And later in the program, we will have Abby Goebel, lead special education teacher at Pinehurst, as well as Andrea Riffin-Knox, who is also a special education guidance counselor at Pinehurst. I appreciate you all for coming in. Well, Wilton, I want to start with you first. And just really sort of basically, as you lean in there, how did you get involved with this? Well, how did this come to your attention? Because obviously it's not something you had been planning on, but it from what I read, it's sort of something that you sort of accidentally ran across.
Well, about 2 years ago, we got involved in pet therapy or animal-assisted therapy with our dog Murphy, who at that time was a two-year-old Bernese Mountain Dog. We had moved here from New York City, where for some time we had hoped and dreamed for a change of scenery and a move from a ninth floor apartment that would allow us to have a dog, and particularly a Bernese Mountain Dog, because we had learned so much about how gentle and friendly they were. And particularly Kristen had become interested in one day doing therapy dog work, and we thought this would be a great breed. We, while still in New York, we picked up a book on the breed at a Barnes & Noble's nearby that happened to be written by a lady named Julia Crawford, who, according to the blurb, lived in Delmar, Maryland. At that time, I didn't know as much about Salisbury as Kristen because Kristen's mom grew up here, but I asked Kristen if she knew anything about Delmar, was it anywhere near Salisbury, and learned that it was right up the road. So within a period of a year or so, we moved to Salisbury, got Murphy from Miss Crawford, who happens to be a retired Wicomico County school teacher who taught at Pinehurst in the 60s, and began volunteering with Murphy at Coastal Hospice at the Lake and at Deer's Head Hospital, where I had begun volunteering. Because when we moved down here, we both resigned our jobs with law firms, but I stayed retired and Kristen went back to work. So I had a little more time to investigate what we could do in the area with therapy dogs. After getting started at those two places and introducing to them the idea of involving Murphy in my volunteering with patients and having a positive response, I started bringing Murphy on my visits to the patients at Coastal Hospice at the Lake and at Deer's Head. Murphy was the first therapy dog that was ever utilized by this hospice organization, and the first in a little while at Deer's Head, where there'd been a hiatus since the last time they had had a therapy dog. And the folks on staff there began to suggest other ideas that we might want to consider about places we might take Murphy. One on the staff at Deer's Head knew Abby Goebel's husband and suggested that we contact Pinehurst about working with the special needs kids there. And one thing led to another as we started from that point, because that's how we ended up at Pinehurst, that's how we ended up at the transitional care unit at PRMC, and that's how we ended up at Holly Center. And those are the places where we focus our visiting right now. So since, I guess, April of last year, mm-hmm. So, about a year and a half by the clock, not counting the summers off, we've been working with the special needs kids at Pinehurst, which is lower elementary school special needs kids, that includes developmentally disabled kids and emotionally distressed kids. And we've worked with both, but particularly with the latter, and that's the group that we've worked with and focused on with Abby and Andrea.
How did you introduce this idea to the school officials? I mean, I can imagine that's a rather unusual thing for somebody to come up and say, this might be a good idea. How did that happen? Who are you talking to?
The assistant principal there, Dave Harris, was the person we ended up, who was designated when I made the overture to kind of take up the idea and discuss it with us. And we had, pretty early on, we had a meeting with him that included Abby. Were you at that first meeting? Mm-hmm. And some of the other special needs staff. And I brought Murphy, and we just talked about things we might be able to do. And at that point, Kristen and I, besides the experience we had gained working with different kind of folks at these other facilities, we had also incidentally worked with children, because as you might imagine, at a place like Deer's Head, where there's long-term care patients, and Coastal Hospice at the Lake with hospice patients, there are visiting children and grandchildren. And the interactions that we have there don't focus exclusively on the patients, but also on the family members, the visitors, and the staff as well. So we had had some positive experiences with children, and I was able to relate some of those experiences.
When you were describing to David what was going on? How did you describe, what did you tell him that would say, for him to say, this looks like a good idea? I mean, what specific kinds of things were happening with the children, say, at the hospice that then translated over?
Well, what I'd learned from studying about therapy dog work with children is that, particularly with children who have had traumatic life experiences or who are going through very difficult experiences, the dog is a very soothing, calming presence. When there's worry about other folks, the dog comes in, is friendly, jovial, comforting, accessible, and the child can relate to that dog in a very special way in a time of distress. And, I thought there could be carryovers to the lives of children who are impacted in their educational situation because of very difficult and sometimes abusive home situations. And so we kind of started from that basis. And then I introduced not only experiences that we'd had, but ideas that I'd been studying about. I've done a lot of reading on the subject. I'm about to begin a year-long study of animal-assisted therapy in a distance learning program that'll run through the next academic year to continue learning more about things that we can possibly do. But we just started brainstorming about, things that we could do. One of the common things that are done with therapy dogs in schools are reading programs. You might have heard about programs where, in the general education program, children will focus and work on struggles they may be having with reading by sitting to the side with a dog and reading to the dog instead of before the class under the nose of the teacher. And again, the dog's non-judgmental, attentive presence brings out the best in the child and also motivates them for the opportunity to read to the dog. So those motivational capacities of the interactions with the dog were ideas we also thought could have an impact in the special ed unit at Pinehurst. If you meet behavioral expectations, you get time with Murphy. If it's time to master a particular a book to take a quiz on it, let's take turns maybe with folks having a chance to read the book to Murphy. And, those are some of the ideas.
Kristen, I want to turn to you. So when he says, hey, I think I'm going to do this, or I'm going to, what was your reaction to this idea when he started talking about the idea about, well, maybe we should do this, or I should do this at an elementary school? What was your experience with this?
Well, I thought that it was a wonderful opportunity, and I was a little jealous that I didn't have more time to devote to it myself.
But we did work to plan some of the times at her lunch break so that she could be particularly involved. And also, what's your connection with Pinehurst?
Oh, I went to fifth grade.
Oh, is that right?
At Pinehurst, yes.
And we live right down the street from Pinehurst. It's our neighborhood school.
Right. So I've been very fortunate that my employer has allowed me a little flexibility to extend my lunch hours so that I can go and work with the kids, and it's been really a wonderful experience.
So when you see them, whether it's reading or whatever, can you relate to me a little bit about what that's like to see a kid who maybe had problems with reading, as for instance, to mention, and how that seems to transform the child as you see them?
There are a couple examples that come to mind. There was a child who was autistic. He would try and read and was just whisper. He'd whisper. And I would say that he probably over the course of the school year got to read to Murphy probably four times, because they rotate the kids through the class throughout the course of the year. But by the end of the year, he was reading more clearly. You know, you could hear him. He'd verbalize more, you know, loudly, and was always so excited to be able to read to Murphy, and that was really very exciting to me. Another example of Murphy's effect on kids, we were at a school carnival and had some kids reading to Murphy. That was just sort of one of the stations where the kids could go. And there was one child, and he was struggling a bit with reading, but he had chosen a book that was really long. And there were all these fun things going on around him that he could have been doing, but he sat there, and he stayed with us, and he read that book, the entire thing. And I was so proud of him, because he struggled some. And afterwards, we went to tell his parents, and his mom said, "You have to find his dad. He will not believe this." But that it just really, really touched me, because, you know, you're at a carnival. There are all these wonderful, fun things that are designed to, you know, for the children to enjoy. But he stayed there, and he was committed to reading that book to Murphy, and it was really, really neat.
Now, we have actually, we should mention, for those who may not realize it, we do have Murphy in the studio, hacking away, I think.
And may have heard the heavy breathing in the background.
I mean, Murphy's a pretty big dog. Was Murphy this big when you did bring him to Pinehurst?
Oh, yeah, he was fully grown. Uh-huh. Bernese Mountain Dogs, when you get them at 8 weeks, they're, you know, just a big handful. But within a couple of years, they grow to about 120 pounds, and they're good-sized dogs. So when you're raising a Bernese Mountain Dog and you have this type of future in view for them, you work really hard on their obedience training. You work really hard on teaching them to stay on all fours instead of rearing up on their hind legs, which as they get bigger would topple over someone with a walker or a child. So in training Murphy, we focus from the beginning on preparing him for this kind of opportunity. And he is, when people first encounter him and notice the size, sometimes there's a little bit of concern, you know, depending on people's background. And one important thing about doing work as a therapy dog handler is you're always very respectful of everybody's experience. And if someone is starting to shy away from your dog, you give them all the space they need and respect the fact that they may have had a bad experience as a child with a dog. But through repeated exposure to the dog, because you don't impose the dog on anyone, there have been a lot of times when Murphy has won folks over, because instead of seeing a big scary dog, they realize what they're seeing is a big teddy bear, and he's just genuinely affectionate and genuinely interested in them. And as you can see, he's pretty, well, if you can. He's lying over here in the corner patiently panting away, because he's just a very calm-natured dog. And wherever we go, he just makes himself at home.
I was going to say, because I was curious also about what's Murphy's reaction been to this? I mean, obviously he's been calm. I mean, how has he fit in with the kids and everything? And go ahead.
From the first time we started visiting, even before we made our way to Pinehurst, it's just... it makes his day when we're going somewhere to visit. There's a little box on a table in our living room where we keep, he's got a bandana on with his patches and things, and he's got name tags to go to certain places, and we keep them in there. And whenever he realizes that we're coming down in the kind of clothes we wear to go to visit, and he knows where those things are, he'll go over and stand near that box like, okay, well, let's get my uniform out. Let's get going. And now we've introduced another dimension here, because Murphy, as I was explaining earlier, got a lot of opportunities to go a lot of places pretty quickly, and you don't want to wear him out. People get confused when Murphy's lying out like this. They say, he must be so tired. Well, no, he's just calm and relaxed. the main thing it does, all the time away visiting, you know, deprives them of nap time at least, even though it's not that physically stressful. But we thought that what we could really do to be able to step up our involvement in the community without wearing Murphy out was to get a second Bernese Mountain Dog. So last summer we got Zeke, who is a puppy just like Murphy, often confused with Murphy now that he's almost as big as Murphy. And at just over a year old now, Zeke has been volunteering at all of our facilities since last March. He got a very early start because Murphy set a good example and was a good mentor, and we'd learned a lot by the time we got Zeke. So now the problem is, when it's time to go make a visit to Pinehurst or anywhere else, the two of them are parked at the base of the stairs downstairs, wondering, you know, am I on the traveling team today, or have I got to stay home and, as I always put it to them, to try to be positive, keep a sharp lookout and, you know, take care of things at the house. And whoever gets the latter, you know, result goes over to their regular place to lie down and just plops down and sulks until we leave. And, you know, keeps a sharp lookout until we get back.
We're speaking with Welton Seal. He's owner of a special ed dog whose name is Murphy. We can hear in the background. Also, his wife, Kristen. We're going to take a break, and we are also going to be then joined by Abby Goble, a lead special education teacher at Pinehurst Elementary School, as well as Andrea Riefenacht, also a special education guidance counselor at Pinehurst. You're listening to Delmarva Today, and we'll be back in a moment. And welcome back to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rushen. We're talking about pet therapy, but a particular kind. That is the use of dogs, in this case, a dog named Murphy, in, well, a sort of a special education program to help kids learn how to read and learn. It's an unusual effort because we usually think of caring for, say, older adults or those with physical ailments, but it is a program that has been established at the Pinehurst Elementary School. And one, by the way, I might add that I guess there are other places around the country that also do the same thing that I've been reading about. So in our studio, we have two of the folks who are with the school, Abby Goble, who's the lead special education teacher at Pinehurst, also Andrea Riefenacht. She is the special education guidance counselor at Pinehurst, and also still with us is Welton Seal. He is the owner of Murphy, and Murphy is probably somewhere about panting away in the studio as we speak. So I want to turn to Andrea for a moment. And what was your reaction to this idea that you were going to perhaps have this dog that, a very large dog, I might add, work with the children? What was your reaction? You heard about this? What was your thinking?
Well, actually, my husband was contacted first, but I'd had a method student that was working over at Deer's Head that had been at Pinehurst. And so when the connection was made and I actually had the email, and then we presented it to the administration at Pinehurst. What was the most wonderful thing about it is, you know, the administration is the gatekeeper, was their flexibility. I mean, this has kind of evolved. When we first started, we weren't sure what direction it was going to go in, but we had read the research, and it had been done successfully at other schools, and my administration was very willing and, as I said, flexible to give it a go and to kind of step back and watch it evolve. And it was very beneficial working with Welton, too, because he has a very relaxed, calm presence as well. And we didn't always have a real set plan on how things were going to go. But that's where we kind of let Murphy take the lead a little bit, too. So it ended up kind of evolving into Murphy usually coming on Monday mornings, at least to my room. And then he would also come a couple times a week to help with individual counseling down with Andrea. So in my room on Mondays, it was very beneficial because a lot of these students that have emotional disabilities are in respite placements over the weekend, or there are some, you know, tough things going on at home. And Mondays, we have a lot of discipline incidents, or we can have a lot of discipline incidents. And just the presence of Murphy and the children looking forward to Murphy coming would really help. We actually saw a decrease in incidents, at least on Mondays. And you know, he hasn't mentioned, but sometimes it would take him, Murphy, quite a while to get to our room because it wasn't just the children that responded to him. The office staff, you know, maybe parents coming in, running late, checking a child in. I mean, he had quite a following. And so just sometimes getting into his room, I'm like, where's Murphy? Because they're always so prompt. But he had already started his work as soon as he entered the building before he even came to our room. And I think Weldon also mentioned, too, the idea with a therapy dog is you have this non-judgmental presence. A lot of the students we work with don't view adults the same way as a typical child. The adult is not necessarily a comfort or somebody that they have bonded with. They have reactive attachment disorder. They have difficulty with adults. So it's sometimes easier for them to bond with an animal or a dog and to feel safe.
Mm-hmm. So what was your reaction to the idea that they would have this dog?
I just started at Pinehurst last year, and I remember Dave Harris, our vice principal, coming to me before school started and said, "We have this dog. Let's try it. Let's try counseling. Bring the dog in. They're really great." And I thought, okay, you know, it was my first year here. New kids, new staff, and I thought, why not? You know, let's start with something that might be a little different. And when I first met him, it was, I mean, perfect. Like, it makes the relationship better. You know, it's therapeutic for the staff and for myself just as much as it is for the kids. And it really adds another element to let the kids know that this is a safe place. If you don't want to talk to me about something, go talk to Murphy. You know, you don't have to tell me, but get it out and talk to Murphy. So it's really been really helpful, a great experience.
So give me a sense of when you're counseling people, so children like that, how does Murphy make that easier?
Murphy kind of takes the pressure off, I think. He's another person in the room that's just kind of there, that if they can lay there on the floor with Murphy and pet him and have him do tricks or try to teach him a new trick, it takes the pressure off what they think that they're supposed to be there talking to me about. It's not about me asking them something and them responding to my questions. It's about just relaxing, having a conversation, and thinking about things a little differently than they did before.
Can you give me an example as a student to...
I mean, we've had kids who have gone from, you know, 60 miles an hour, you know, can't sit still, want to run around, and Murphy walks in the room and they sit.
I think
and
he helps
calm.
Switch gears.
Yes.
He has brings out their empathy. A lot of these students,
absolutely,
as I said, are very angry with adults, have brought maybe a situation from home, a conflict situation where they're angry with an adult. They don't want to talk to another adult about it, but they'll talk to Murphy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're petting Murphy, they're showing empathy for him, and he is, like, de-escalating them naturally in a way that we might not be able to because we have more of, like, a past history with that child or we're perceived as the bad guy. So Murphy comes in as this, like, neutral presence, this non-judgmental presence, and somebody that they can show compassion and kindness to, and it just kind of, it really, yeah, it helps them switch gears,
right,
in an emotional level that we might not,
yeah,
be able
a
to.
A lot of them relate to him. I know with him getting Zeke at home now, it was kind of, you know, we had a couple kids who their parents had another baby this year,
mm-hmm,
so relate to Murphy like that. Murphy has a new brother at home. What do you think he's feeling about that? Does that sound like anything you might be feeling? Things like that really kind of, they can think out of the box and think in Murphy's view, and it's not as threatening to them.
I think it gives him some control, too.
Yeah.
Murphy has a big bag of tricks. He has a lot of things that he can do, and he... there's been times where we've had the child teach him a trick that he already knew, or just the, you know, that rapport between them, and it gives the child a little bit of a sense of control.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at a time when they don't, that they can give a command, the dog will follow through, and then they're successful. These kids are quite often so used to not being successful or having so many directives at them, so it kind of puts them in that teacher, you know, instructor role, which is empowering for them, and they really appreciate that.
So, what kind of tricks do these kids then teach
Murphy? He can speak where at different volumes.
He's got a volume control.
Mm-hmm. And they love to hide. We do, like, you know, where they would hide a treat, and Murphy has to look for it. And he, well, you tell all that.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of things. Our role, and Kristen does as much of this as I do at Pinehurst, and she functions mainly in the counseling with, mm-hmm, with Andrea. But what we try to do is make the dog available and manage, the physical sides of the interaction, manage control of the dog, the interaction with the child under the direction of educational professionals. We're not special ed professionals. They are. So what we try to do is let them know, here's some things, like she talks about Murphy's bag of tricks. Here's some things we can do, Murphy can do. Let's brainstorm on how we can utilize those to accomplish your educational goals for these particular children with their particular needs. And it kind of depends on the child. Like there's one child that I can think of who was kind of scattergun with Murphy. He would try to give Murphy like six commands in a row. And I remember once I said, let me show you how Murphy feels. And I started trying to give him like almost Simon Says, like six things in a row. And he was like spinning around, oh, wait a minute. I get it. You know, it sort of dawned on him. I said, well, ask him to do one thing at a time. And he kind of caught the point. And some child will be very demanding and say, you know, Murphy, do this, Murphy, do that. But he's not using the words that Murphy's used to hearing. So you say, okay, well, Murphy will do that for you, but let me show you how. And it teaches children about the appropriate use of language and how if you want certain results, maybe offer the suggestion, you know, respectfully and with the right language, you know, with the right tone. And so there are all sorts of lessons that can be learned just from having a dog do tricks. And even things for developmentally disabled children, as simple as task sequencing. Like, let's brush Murphy. You know, what are we going to do to brush Murphy? We got to get a brush. Maybe we're going to take his collar off. Maybe we're going to, you know, tell Murphy to sit. Then we're going to brush him. Maybe we're going to pull the hair out of the brush. So there's just any number of activities you can do that can be helpful. But a lot of it is just spontaneous. I remember one of the older children wanted very badly to walk Murphy. There's an enclosed courtyard. I've got a leash, and I can put an auxiliary leash on there. Either I'll hold the leash or I'll hold the second leash. And I was teaching that child all the healing commands from basic dog obedience. And the child was really interested in that and wanting to tell the dog the right way to do the things that he needed him to do. And he caught the idea that you say heal, that you say halt, and that when you want to turn, you kind of let him know you're going to turn. And there was one day after this child had learned this, there were some younger children in the special ed unit. They were out on the playground when we went out. And one of the little children came up and grabbed the leash and looked at me like, can I walk the dog? He was not communicative. He was just letting me know with his visuals. And I looked at the boy who was with me who had learned about walking Murphy, and I said, how would you like to help this younger boy learn how to walk Murphy? And he just took to that and actually instructed that child almost verbatim in the way I'd instructed him on how to handle Murphy. And the three of us walked Murphy around the courtyard. So it's on different levels simultaneously. There are positive interactions that go on.
Abby, what kind of impact or presence does the dog have on a classroom of kids?
Huge.
And by the way, what level, what grade?
Well, I have third, fourth, and fifth grade students that travel through my room. I'm basically the reading teacher for these students. And, you know, a lot of the students that I work with have emotional disabilities, and then they also have some educational disabilities. And so there's a certain amount of anxiety that comes along with that. And then for some, a power struggle, you know, far as I haven't been successful at this, I don't want to do it again, this is stupid, you know, like, why, like as adults, how often do we go about doing things that we know we're not good at, right? You know, and these children don't have that choice. And Murphy really resets it. And there have been many incidences, and I know Weldon will know, where maybe they wouldn't have done it for the adult in the room. Or if I'm like, well, I know you've done the story again and again. We need to do it one more time. Could you go read it to Murphy? Oh, okay. You know, it just completely takes that power struggle out of it, and then we can get to what's important to the learning aspect of it. And as I said, he changes the atmosphere in the room. It's not just for the children as well. There have been times where we've had a discipline situation developing, and we have three or four, you know, the classroom's upset, and the adults are upset, and Murphy can come in, and I can just say, hey, you want to take Murphy for a walk? You know, and it's like just as an adult taking a break. You know, they can go outside, they take him for a walk, they reset. Weldon's a fresh adult as well that has come into that situation. He's not in part of that emotionally charged atmosphere. And the child, he's got a wonderful presence with the children too. I mean, they trust him. And I know they've told him a lot of stories and related things that maybe they wouldn't have told a staff member at Pinehurst, because they have that comfort level with him and with Murphy. He's safe. And I think that's an issue. Sometimes we forget with these children is they don't always feel safe and comfortable. And you can't learn and you can't open yourself up to new learning when you're all anxious and tense. So it's been phenomenal. I wish Murphy could be involved in more schools in the county.
Someone I would suspect would fear that perhaps that the dog might be a distraction in a classroom, particularly if you have 25, 30 kids. Is that true, or is it a problem sometimes, or what?
Well, Murphy's so laid back. I mean, I could see how, you know, just with some dogs, but he has a really a wonderful temperament for it. And our, you know, classrooms, especially elementary classrooms, can be pretty active. So he does not add to that activity level. There have been days where it has gotten active in there, but that's when, you know, teachers can be control freaks on some level. You know, that's where I have to coach myself and step back and be like, you know, this is what needs to happen now. Like, maybe I didn't get through my complete lesson, but maybe a child had a breakthrough that Murphy was able to facilitate. So you have to kind of change your mindset a little. It's going to be a little bit more active. But, you know, that's how we would plan it a certain time of the day. Probably the hardest as far was just making sure Murphy had equal access to all the students, because my kids rotate throughout the day. The kids would sometimes be frustrated if we weren't able to get Murphy to visit with all of them. So because sometimes it would evolve to where he needed to be with one child more than another.
We were speaking about pet therapy and a special kind. That is that Murphy, the dog that we've been hearing probably on and off, Bernice, he apparently goes to the classrooms at Pinehurst Elementary School and is part of a therapy program that really enables kids to learn how to read and get along in life. And we appreciate all of you actually coming here and talking about this really unusual program. And just to recap, Welton Seal, he's the owner of the dog, Murphy. Also, his wife, Kristen, was here. And Andrea Rifenacht, the Special Education Guidance Counselor at Pinehurst, as well as Abby Goble, who is a lead special education teacher, again, at Pinehurst Elementary School. You've been listening to Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush, and thanks for listening.
This has been Delmarva Today, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. Chris Rank produces and is our audio engineer. Our volunteer producers are Penny Hartman, Kathleen Grout, and Jim White. Don Rush is your host. For podcasts, visit our website, delmarvapublicradio.net, or subscribe to the Delmarva Today podcast in iTunes. Delmarva Today can now be seen on PAC-14. To view the schedule, visit the Daily Times or visit PAC-14.org.